This is the State of Things broadcasting from the North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences in Raleigh. I'm Frank Stacio. We are live streaming, so you can watch us at stateofthings.org. State lawmakers have less than 6 weeks to put together a budget before the next fiscal year starts. State Senate released its spending plan last night. It includes pay raises for teachers in return for their sacrifice of career status. General Assembly is also considering an overhaul to the tax code. Meanwhile, 14 more protesters from the Moral Monday movement were arrested after a sit-in that lasted nearly all night. Jessica Jones is WUNC's Capitol Bureau Chief, and she's here with the latest from the legislature. Welcome back, Jessica.
Thank you, Frank.
Let's start with a budget proposal from the state Senate. How much does it spend? How different is it from the governor's budget?
Well, it's a $21.2 billion budget proposal, so in terms of its overall price tag, it's not really that different from the governor's budget. But the biggest difference, I would say, is that the Senate proposal involves a much higher raise for teachers, as you know, you alluded to. The Senate proposal wants to give teachers a really big raise, while the governor's proposal is more modest. But there is a catch. The Senate's proposal includes this 11% raise, but on the condition that teachers give up their tenure.
And tenure is not tenure as we know it in the university, right? It's just a way of protecting your job if you're called on the carpet, right?
That's right, and that's important to teachers. That tenure is a very, very important part of this whole proposal, and teachers groups are not very happy about that. And some teachers I've talked to say that it's kind of a kiss and a slap at the same time, maybe more of a slap than a kiss, actually. Receiving pay ranges in exchange for giving up, you know, security and protection. Well, those are tough choices for some teachers.
Does that mean they're more happy with the governor's plan?
I would say so.
All right. Well, so also last night the Senate approved, or yesterday the Senate approved, a plan that restricts the right of municipalities to impose a corporate tax on businesses. It's a little different than the House plan. Tell us what they did.
Right. So the Senate's version of this tax plan would make changes to a lot of things, but one of the most controversial parts of the bill would eliminate privilege taxes. And privilege taxes are taxes that municipalities get to charge on businesses. And they vary widely from place to place. You know, it's cities and municipalities levy these taxes in very different ways. And business owners have long complained that the way that they're levied isn't fair. You know, there may be a flat tax in one community that doesn't take into account the size of the business, et cetera, et cetera. So there have been complaints for some time about this and attempts to regulate those taxes. However, cities depend on those taxes. Eliminating those taxes, as this particular bill would suggest, would be a big hit for city governments. And the Senate's version of the bill would eliminate those taxes after a year starting on July 1st.
Well, that's interesting because cities are budgeting and planning right now based on that. And I've seen estimates of $62 million overall for cities in North Carolina that they would lose. That means layoffs. That means cuts in services, wouldn't it?
Well, that's what the cities say. And so that $62 million figure comes from the legislature's fiscal research division. And that is the amount of money that municipalities across the state would lose if those taxes were completely eliminated. I guess I would say the House version of the bill would cap some of those taxes. So, you know, in the House version, municipalities would lose money anyway. But yes, $62 million is a big number. City leaders, town leaders, municipality leaders are not very happy about this because they are planning their budgets. And, you know, July 1st is really not that far away. And the League of Municipalities is also working hard to try to get legislators to look at some other plans, to think about other options, you know, and they vary widely. One might be having some kind of a tiered system or a system of imposing privilege taxes that takes into account the size of your business, the number of your workers, maybe where you're located. So what the League is saying is that let's look at this in a more nuanced fashion.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you've got a couple of issues here. In principle, you have the state government imposing itself on municipalities, taking away local or self-governance, and robbing them of the market approach, which is if these businesses don't like it, the market would say go away. And so that's a kind of a principled objection to this. And then, of course, the very practical, which services do we cut if we can't levy these taxes? So we'll have to watch that going forward as these two bills in the House and Senate are reconciled. Meanwhile, Meanwhile, lawmakers also considering changes to the state's tax code that included tax on e-cigarettes, right? Tell us about that.
That's right. A tax on e-cigarettes, that is folded into this enormous bill, this enormous omnibus tax bill. And right now, as it stands in both versions, the tax on e-cigarettes would be equal to 5 cents on every milliliter of the liquid used in e-cigarette cartridges, and the need for those replacement cartridges varies user by user. Now, this is a relatively young but growing industry, and so there's a lot of information that I think people don't have in terms of how quickly do you go through those cartridges, how should we tax them. Right now, Minnesota is the only state in the country that taxes e-cigarettes, and other states have been looking at the possibility of taxing, but they haven't been able to pass anything to tax e-cigarettes yet. So this is a new thing for states, and North Carolina is grappling with it.
Yeah, any it's hard to know because it's such a young industry. Any projections on revenue? How much would this bring in?
Well, it's just hard to say. It depends on the use at this point. I mean, I think we're still in the early stages of it. So it was apparently the industry, Reynolds American, you know, one of the biggest players in the industry here in the U.S., came to legislators and asked them for that tax. So they're already trying to, you know, get their 2 cents in on this debate.
And what about
get their 5 cents in on this debate? I'm sorry.
5 cents per what is it? Milliliter
per cartridge. Per milliliter of the liquid used in the cartridges.
Now, that's an interesting point too, because the liquid can have different nicotine concentrations, right? So you have the total volume of liquid, but in terms of concentration, that can change from cartridge to cartridge, right?
Well, and I guess I would also point out that as discussions about this were happening among legislators, many legislators said, why do we have this e-cigarette discussion? Why do we have these provisions in this bigger bill? Shouldn't we be talking about e-cigarettes and all their permutations and the different ways that they can be made? And like you said, you know, whether one cartridge is the same as another, shouldn't we deal with that in a standalone bill? And so there have been calls to take that out because it's a new industry. We don't know a lot. Legislators feel like maybe the tax should be higher because there just aren't a lot of comparisons out there just in terms of how do you tax e-cigarettes and how does that compare with the cost of a pack of regular cigarettes.
Right. And this is the short session, too. So we're kind of in between. But so we'll see how that plays out as this session goes forward. Moral Monday protesters in the legislature again. They went door to door, each lawmaker's office, and some of them liked it so much, apparently they stayed.
They did. They brought some sleeping bags. They were singing some songs a few times when I stepped out to check on what was going on. I should say they came on Tuesday, even though they're Moral Monday protesters, they came on Tuesday because nobody was here Memorial Day, but they still decided to show up on Tuesday, and they decided to hold the sit-in in the Speaker's office to voice their protests, to protest some of the policies that they don't like at the General Assembly. 14 people were arrested after that, and they had been sitting in Speaker Tillis' office for nearly 11 hours.
All right. And those will continue back to Mondays when regular sessions resume. And we should point out, we're not quite done yet, but these were expected to go to about July 1st if this runs on schedule.
That's right. If it runs on schedule, July 1st is the beginning of the new fiscal year, and ideally the General Assembly should have things wrapped up before that. Of course, if they don't finish, then there can be some kind of a continuing resolution. But I think most lawmakers are pretty eager to get things wrapped up.
And at this point, no indications really that there are any hang-ups or that there's any real division between the houses that could hang things up.
Well, we don't know what the House's budget proposal is yet. And so I think once we know that, then we'll have a better sense of how easy will it be for everybody to come to a conclusion? How easy will it be for the House and the Senate and the governor's office to work together? But there's just a third piece of this puzzle that we don't know yet.
And another wrinkle, a kind of a surprise, perhaps. The House filed a resolution this week to call for a constitutional convention in the United States. Tell us about that.
Well, there are a lot of bills that are filed every year, and there are some quirky ones. This may be one of the – well, I guess I could say this is probably one of the quirky ones that has been filed this year. And yes, so this would establish a committee to study whether the state should apply to Congress for a convention of the states under Article 5 of the Constitution. And apparently this was inspired by a Virginia-based group called the Convention of States, and three other states have already passed legislation like this. So this was not just an idea from North Carolina legislators. This is an idea that's being batted around primarily by this group that does have some Tea Party ties.
Now, this is a constitutional convention, so this would revisit the very foundation of our nation. What's the complaint here? What's wrong with our Constitution, according to the sponsors of this bill?
Well, one of the biggest things that they are saying is that they want to propose amendments imposing fiscal restraints on the federal government. That's the goal, and in fact, that's the goal of the people who of the group that's sponsoring this. You know, these kinds of bills. This is a short session, and there are a lot of other things that legislators have to do. And I just don't think, Frank, that this is the top item on the agenda this year.
Not going to get a lot of traction. Although the idea of local control, states controlling the federal government, is now ironic, given the fact that the legislature would like to control cities and how they can raise revenue. They'd have to reconcile that. This one probably will not get very far, but it's always interesting to hear. Jessica, thank you so much.
Thank you, Frank.
Jessica Jones, WUNC's Capitol Bureau Chief. Just ahead, scientists take us on a trip through the rainforest. We are live from the Museum of Natural Sciences in downtown Raleigh, live streaming on stateofthings.org, and you're listening to the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.